God, look at those eyes and those rounder weirds. How cute is that?
Those little pink feet.
Oh, we're supposed to have it in the shade.
Oh, let's just...
Do you want some?
Yes, please. Oh. Thanks, Ray.
Fine. Yeah.
Sorry.
Have a smell and look at the colour of the feet and all.
So
what do we all think?
It's one of them.
One of them?
One of them.
Is that what everyone reckons?
That's what we're here for.
You're right. It's a New Holland. This is a juvenile. This is a little one.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yes, 66. One more.
This is the one.
This is the one.
There he goes.
Oh, look, I think it's just a remarkable species in the sense of the type of habitat that it occupies. And in fact, much of my latter interest in the New Holland mouse was during the period when I was doing my PhD, and I was particularly interested in what sort of impacts introduced species like feral cats might be having on the New Holland mouse.
So you went out, set some traps.
Absolutely, and unfortunately, I recorded a whole long list of zeros. So many zeros, in fact, that, the last in-hand record for the New Holland mouse in Tasmania was back in 2004. And since then, we've actually had a couple of positive hair records for the species, one from Waterhouse Conservation Area and the other from the St Helens area. But our records have been relatively sparse compared to that period beforehand.
So when you say in-the-hand record versus a hair record, how do you get those?
So the hair records are actually really interesting. So this is one method that is actually non-invasive for the species and really quite cost-effective in surveying them. And they essentially involve a little bit of PVC pipe, so they're very, very simple, with a little bit of food to attract the animals in and some double-sided tape. And so they get a free body wax when they wander in to check out the food, and they leave us some hairs behind, and we're able to identify the species based on the hairs they leave behind.
Billy, when you say that you've only had just a couple of these hair records and one in the hand back to 2004, how many zeros since then?
So I've recently tabulated our results, and so if we combine all of our trapping and hair tubing efforts in over 17,000 trap and tube nights, we've failed to detect the species since 2010 in Tasmania. You know, I guess that raises one of the big questions that we're always or often faced with when we're talking about wildlife, and that is, how do you interpret a zero?
The expression I've heard is the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. It doesn't mean they're necessarily gone. You might just be looking in the wrong places, or could be anything.
That is such a key point, and we're very, very, very aware of that for this species. I mean, particularly for the New Holland mouse, because it occupies a certain type of habitat that is of a particular fire age. So it's generally those 10-year fire cycles in which you tend to find it in the earlier stages or the earlier phases after a fire. The New Holland mouse tends to predominate. So we're very aware that those zeros may not mean that the species is actually truly absent. And in fact, this animal has a history of being rediscovered in certain areas.
Tell me about that.
It's actually quite fascinating, and it really highlights the importance of how members of the community can play a pivotal role in helping us understand the distribution of some of these really rare species, and in this case, the New Holland mouse. Many years ago, the species hadn't been recorded in New South Wales for over 80 years, and a parks ranger happened to be out in the heathlands doing a number of other jobs, and they saw a small mammal darting across in the heathlands, and they chased after it and grabbed hold of it, and it was the first record of a New Holland mouse in that state in over 80 years.
Truly, they chased it down.
Yes. I mean, obviously, we definitely wouldn't be encouraging people to chase down threatened species and grab hold of them, but it certainly goes to show how members of the public taking photos or even looking at any carcasses that they find of small mammals, that can really help us to understand species distributions like the New Holland mouse.
And this is one of the trunks off of Xantharia. I was speaking to an old fellow on Flinders Island, and he said his father used to go out and actually cut down Xanthorrhoea for firewood. And he said all these little possum mice used to jump out of them. So apparently the New Hollands live in the trunks of the Xanthorrhoea. Another one of the key indicator plant species is Aotis. You see this little plant here?
Aotis.
Sort of pea-type plant. Are they legumes? Fabaceous? Any pea-type plants are good.
There's here, one there, one there.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Your flower, your version.
And that's a really good point. Just see how diversity is just right here at our feet. And that's so important for good New Holland mouse habitat.
Billy Lazenby, where then would you be encouraging people to have a look?
Well, perhaps not actively looking, but certainly if they're in areas in the northeast of the state, in coastal heathlands that have recently been burnt, you know, 3 to 5 years post-fire, and these coastal heathlands tend to be really floristically diverse. There are lots of different plants in them, and they'll often have lots of flower and seed output, and that's good food for the New Holland mouse. Then yeah, if they notice anything, you know, we definitely wouldn't advocate people to be grabbing hold of live specimens, but a really good quality photo is fantastic. And if they see any other records like hair or bones, then that might help us get a starting point for a survey for this species.
I can imagine people thinking, though, it's just a house mouse or something like that. You're not necessarily going to know with a glance.
That is so true, and that's one of the key points. It's something that we need to be really, really aware of, and that is that the New Holland mouse and the house mouse are superficially very similar. They're both the same size, and surprisingly for some people, house mice actually do occur in quite high numbers in bushland, including the coastal heathlands that the New Holland mouse is found in. So they're not an easy species to identify to the naked eye. But, you know, the best case scenario that's the least invasive is a really good high-quality photograph. And it actually happens that a couple of really well-informed tour guides who work up in the northeast of Tasmania, late last year they actually photographed an animal that, you know, it's very, very difficult to identify definitively from a photograph, but they did photograph a small mammal that had some characteristics consistent with a New Holland mouse. And so that gave us a starting point for popping out and doing a little survey.
Well, then zeros don't necessarily mean zero, but there are threatening processes, aren't there? You mentioned cats in your research in that area. So what's happened in the last dozen years since you got a good fix?
That's actually an incredibly important question, and one that we can't answer. We don't know at this stage. And so obviously I'm sort of coming at this from a personal interest point of view, and there's nothing that I can see that's changed dramatically, but it is something that we can certainly work on in terms of mapping potential changes in fire regimes over the last 10 years. And we know that there are probably things that are happening with the change in devil abundance. Decline in the number of devils may lead to changes in behaviour in species like feral cats. So they're all potential factors that could lead to a change in New Holland mouse distribution and abundance. But it's very hard to tease out any single one. And it could, you know, realistically be a combination.
Billy, you've told me about their distribution or recent identification or absence of identification in Tasmania. Where else, apart from here, might we find these?
They are found in Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland. Their conservation status in Victoria, yeah, they're also believed to be in some trouble over there. They've disappeared from a number of sites, or apparently disappeared from a number of sites over recent years. But encouragingly, in New South Wales, they appear to be doing quite well. So that might be one of the keys to understanding what's the difference between what's happening in Victoria and Tasmania compared to New South Wales in terms of this species. And it might help us to understand how to fix the problem. And in fact, there's some really key things that everyone can do for this species. One, obviously, is responsible pet ownership. So for anyone living in coastal areas with a pet cat, it's great if you follow all of those general principles of, you know, pop a collar on your cat, keep it in at night, basically know where it is. Also, one of the other big threats for this species is root rot fungus or Phytophthora. So this fungus spreads throughout the habitat in which the New Holland mouse is found and actually has a drastic impact on the diversity of plants that are found there. So it means that in real terms, the New Holland mouse has a reduced food source to choose from. So if we can reduce the spread of that root rot fungus, then we can have a really positive impact on how much habitat is around for the New Holland mouse. So simple things like washing boots before you go walking into any new areas, and the same with washing down vehicles, etc., before traversing some of those heathlands.